We stay with the senses as we come back from a week away. And thank you, everyone, for your kind patience. The sense of taste is what we'll take up next. And it's not just tastes, flavors, the palate, the tongue, which, of course, is represented in the image. But there are textures here, of course. And the image itself is not centered on the page. And that's purposeful. Because taste includes, is something right, not right? Is something refined, not refined? And whatever is a spectrum between those two poles. So we want to, before we even, you know, sit here and feel our mouth, etc., begin our contemplation with the awareness of, just like the other two senses we've taken up, hearing and sight, that, no, we did tactile, we did touch. So these things are vast in what they include. There's the coarse, the obvious, and there's the habituated to, oh, taste means, you know, one thing. But no, that's actually not so. With hearing, you know, there's the inner ways of hearing, and hearing the more subtle, the more refined, as well as the very obvious ways that we would consider the term hearing and sounds. So let's begin our contemplation with, first, just do take a look at the image and notice if it being centered or not centered, you know, did that cause something, an arising in the mind? We're not judging, we're not labeling, we're just noticing. And then look at the image. Any number of images could have been put here. Human food, not human food, a banquet table at a very, you know, a very expensive wedding, a banquet table in the bush of Africa or India or somewhere like that. So we could choose that too, right? And then we would have different, our eyes would go to different things, but our eyes are going to different things because of the habituated patterns related to our taste buds, related to flavor, preferences, aversions, what we gravitate toward for craving. Do we gravitate toward sweet, sour, salty, etc.? What textures in our mouth do we gravitate towards? Those also, although they are texture, they're part of the taste of something. So just look at the image and contemplate for a few minutes. See what arises as, and what arises as, no, I wouldn't eat that. And then turn your eyes away from the screen for a moment, right now. And probably all of that stopped. Look out a window or something. Look at a bookcase. And look back at the image again, the picture. There might be a little distance in the grasping and the aversion. There might not, but there might be. Less dynamism to the craving, the longer we stare at it, having moved our eyes and our attention away from it for a moment. In fact, the whole thing might start to get boring, uninteresting. So lift your eyes again and look out a window or look at the floor, whatever. That alone was a very worthwhile thing to notice, right? Everything you noticed, what you were drawn toward, if your mouth salivated, what you didn't want to eat, what you said, oh, I would never eat that. Then we had everything that was going on from the first time we were looking at the image, and then we lifted our eyes away from it. And when we look back, more than likely, the same level of craving, the same level of interest was not there as the first time. This indicates to us something about craving, right? Clinging, attachment to whatever it might be. Taste is only one. Food, right? There's only one way in which we cling, crave, are attached, have aversions, etc. But this little experiment reports about it all. And then when we turned our gaze back to the image of food, the disinterestedness, the less attachment, the less dynamism and volition behind the interest in what's on the page, on the paper. Very important to notice these things. Because that means we can use this same technique all through the day. You can use it with an emotion. Anger is arising, jealousy is arising, a troublesome emotion. Well, just turn your eye away from, take a breath. Do something that breaks that continuity of the arising troublesome emotion. I repeat, do something. Breathe, avert your eyes, turn away, walk away, that breaks the continuity of the energy behind the arising emotion. It works every time. Now, with emotions that are really habituated, yes, we will meditate. Hang with me for a minute. Emotions that are really habituated, troublesome ones, like worry, doubt, anxiety, judgment, arrogance, pride, things like that, jealousy, things like that. It'll kind of be like when we brought our eyes back to the image of the food. There might be less interest, less dynamism, but the worry might still arise again or try to arise again, but it won't have the same power. Just like the craving, the salivation in our mouth wasn't there the second time around. Well, the same is so for our troublesome emotions when we start to work with them. And all of this is related to taste. So we sit, long, slow, deep breath. Can you taste that? I bet so. And if we add a smile, yeah, you can taste that too. Is it a taste on our tongue? Well, the breath might be in the back of the tongue. But the smile probably is not having anything to do with our palate. But we still can taste it. The wide-ranging experience of taste includes what clothes we have already put on today or the ones we will choose. What kind of toothpaste do we use? How do we like our morning beverage? What is our morning beverage? Some things touch our palate, having to do with taste. But you will observe through the day and through the week that taste actually has very little to do with the palate. And so we breathe again, noticing it. If we sit well, our body enjoys the taste of that. And when we sit slouchy, our body is disinterested in that taste. It is unappealing. Each of us right now is surrounded by colors, shapes. How we've appointed our room, our home. Clearly to each of us, that is the taste that we enjoy and want to be immersed in. Those colors, those textures. Do you have stone, wood, or carpet on your floor? This is taste. And notice when we're done, and you get up, when your whole etheric body, through its physical, touches the difference between the carpet and the stone, wood, or composite floor. Notice the difference. Your etheric body definitely notices the difference. The proprioceptors in your feet notice the difference. So notice that. It's all taste. As you walk outside on the earth or on cement, by water, with mountains in view, surrounded by skyscrapers, whatever it is, you are tasting that. And if we were walking barefoot, we would really be tasting it. Because our contact to Mother Earth, even through all the layers of man-made things, the contact with Mother Earth's magnetic field would be there. We would taste that. And our etheric body would taste that. Our bioelectric mechanism called a human body would taste that. And I encourage you to walk barefoot whenever you can, or sit and take your shoes off. You will notice a difference. So we sit. If there is a taste in your mouth, notice it. But notice that that taste is actually not in your mouth. What we label as the taste is in the synapses and neural firings of our brain and the habits of consciousness that call it something, that have familiarity with its spice or its salt or its sweet, etc. But it is not in our mouth. Chemical changes are in our mouth, not taste. The sensation of taste is happening in our consciousness combined with our brain. Which is why taste has little to do with your palate. Your clothes have nothing to do with your palate. Or your tongue. Here on our first day with this, there's so much that could be noticed, put together. If something looks good, architecture, the renovations of a room and a home, another human being, a different kind of animal, this kind of dog, that kind of dog. If it looks good to us, that's taste. We associate that with our eyes, but that's taste. What kind of books do we read? What kind of shows do we watch, or movies do we have interest in? If any of these apply, what kind of crafts do we do? Taste. The majority of the tastes of our day and how this sense is driving the agenda or causing the commentary in our mind. Happy commentary, neutral commentary, sometimes troublesome commentary, taste. The vast majority of it will have nothing to do with your tongue or palate. Architecture certainly does not. So we sit open to the vastness of this one sense, so often relegated to so small. Too much salt. No, that's too sour. The chocolate isn't bitter enough. I would like more. Etc. Taste is so pervasive. So much so that eventually, by the time we get to the end of the week, we will be meditating on the one taste of essential being. But for now, we sit and simply become more aware of how vast this one sense is, how pervasive all through our day. We take a long, so deep breath and smile, having imbibed the taste of meditation and enjoying it, which is why we come back every time we do. The taste of meditation. Have fun through the day, noticing the usually not noticed, all about taste. Love you all. Create your day.